Hi, and welcome back to another segment of Building Bridges. My guest, as always, is Brookings Mayor Jake Pieper, and we look at different issues from different perspectives, learning from each other, and hopefully expanding our own understanding through that. So how are you doing tonight, Jake?
I'm doing all right. Had a decent work day.
You've had kind of a rough couple of weeks, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's actually been a rough year for the Peepers, but certainly the last couple of weeks have been kind of rough.
And for the other 400 million of us in the country, but yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Especially rough for the, people who got sick.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about, what's going on in your life?
So,
you don't have to dwell on it,
right.
But,
So did we miss two or three?
Oh, we've missed like three, I think. I think it's been 3 weeks since we actually...
So my younger sister, Kayla, died on the 2nd, which was, Tuesday? Tuesday, March 2nd. And so, obviously, had to deal with that for a couple weeks.
How old was Kayla?
Kayla, she would have turned 36 on the 12th, a week and a half later. Mm-hmm. But
she's two years younger than me.
Yeah, just like 22 months. Kind of the youngest out of the first group, the first batch. Yeah. And actually, the first batch came with kind of a tag along too, but the first like group of kids that were raised together, she was right. The baby, so.
Yeah.
That one definitely hurt.
I remember you saying on your chat, you were describing your relationship with her a little bit, and you had a very special relationship. That was the relationship where you two would start giggling, in the middle of church or whatever, and it that so reminds me of my relationship with my little sister, because, all we have to do is look at each other and it doesn't matter where we are, right? We just burst out laughing. It's very embarrassing. Embarrassing. Yeah. And you lost your brother earlier too.
I did.
Earlier this year, you lost your brother, Cody.
It was at the end of July, and it takes. Mm-hmm. I mean, when Cody died, it was probably like a month and a half before it really I guess I'm not going to hear from him again. Sort of deal for it to really sink, and grieving him, and then Kayla. So it's definitely been 6 months. For me and my mom. My mom, man.
And your dad.
And my dad. Yep. My dad lost his baby.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I want to extend my deepest sympathies, because I know what that feels like to lose somebody that you love. And I want you to know that all of KCIW, joins me in extending our condolences to you. And if there is anything any of us can do, please don't hesitate to call on us, because we're more than happy to do that.
Thank you.
My experience with losing somebody that you love is that it's kind of like the layers of an onion. You deal with the loss and then you think you've dealt with it pretty well. And then, like a couple of months later, it's like, all over again, But it does get a little bit easier each time, probably because of the whole passage of time thing. They say that time heals all wounds, and I'm not sure that it actually does, but, it does get easier. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
So my condolences.
Thank you.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we've got a whole lot to talk about tonight, because if we go 3 weeks without talking to each other, there are things that happen, right? I mean, I'm amazed at how life just keeps going.
Yeah.
It's just, It's like it doesn't miss a beat. It's amazing. So we've got the COVID thing to talk about, the big uptick in our COVID numbers, which has resulted in a return to extreme risk for Curry County, which is so freaking sad, because that closes our restaurants down again.
Yeah.
Almost
worst case scenario, you know, worst case for businesses.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah.
Almost. And then we've got the recent city council meeting and what was involved there and what it felt like, and looking forward to the summer activities that are being planned, like Azalea Festival and the summer concert series in the park and stuff. There's a bunch of things coming up this summer, I guess. I mean, we seem to be going forward with that. So why don't we start with the fun stuff first? Why don't we start with the fun stuff? So spring is finally here.
Oh, yeah, that is like, fun. There you go. Spring.
Technically finally here. Exactly. Warmer weather and longer days. And actual sunshine.
A forecast, a week-long forecast that like is bearable, you know, is like, all right, cool.
I know. Yeah. I know that, oh my goodness, you mean we're going to have 3 days of sunshine and maybe in a row?
Right.
Wait, 60 degrees on Friday?
I know.
Yes, I know.
My boots haven't been dry for like four months, you know?
I know. It's gnarly. Yeah. You also went, have you gone for a hike?
I went.
Didn't you say that you'd done something with Titus?
I went camping overnight with Titus. That was cool, and not freezing cold. So that was nice, you know, because it could have been. Yeah. We've had those nights, right, where it's like 30s. You know, it can get down there.
Oh yeah.
Tuesday after my chat, because we're in that time of year now where, you know, there's still an hour and a half after I'm done with my chat, and so I did my Cape Farello to House Rock, you know, it takes just about an hour, and you hit it at that time of the day. It's really, really nice.
Were there a lot of people out?
You know, there,
because I would think not so much.
Not so much during the week in the evening. When I was done and back to the parking lot, there's always a handful of people that just kind of pull in and park to watch the sunset. But not many, not too many.
Yeah. So moving into kind of the summer, we are looking at an Azalea Festival this year, aren't we?
Yep, Azalea Fest.
At the right time, not pushed off until July, but like literally at the end of May.
I'm thinking... Only because, let's see, what was the deal last year, this year, and not just COVID, but there was something with the date. But no, they're planning it now, though. The planning is underway. So that's interesting.
It's got to be somewhere right around in there, doesn't it?
Right. I mean, there was, you know, conflicting things with... Oh, no, you know what? I'm thinking that was just this year. There were conflicting things. And so when we missed Memorial Day weekend, trying to figure out another date. Yeah. I'm going with that. Let's go with that.
So you're going with that?
Yeah, let's go with that.
So listening audience, when we come back on next week, we will actually know the dates of the Azalea Festival, okay? Just know that it is coming, so be prepared because it is coming.
I know.
Yeah,
planning.
That'll be nice.
Planning is underway, and
excellent.
Let's see. Would this be the second year or the third year that the city is actually the one planning it? So I know that's underway. And you mentioned concerts in the park. They have their schedule. I don't remember the dates now. I mentioned it one time on one of my chats.
No, but I think it starts in June.
Right.
I think it starts in June, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. A little later.
And the great thing about that is that you know, it's outside, mm-hmm. so you can sit on that beautiful hillside. We can be 6 feet apart, right?
Oh,
we don't have to be like crowded in, and we're outside. So, I mean, it really is kind of a perfect environment, you know? And some of us are pretty desperate at this point.
You know? We don't get out much.
It's like we don't get out much at all. I mean, I would just love the whole idea of being able to sit with my community members and listen to music and get up and dance if I feel like. I mean, it's like, it's almost like this dream come true kind of thing, which is, come on,
oh, I know.
How weird is that?
Yeah, right? It's not that weird. I didn't realize how much it meant until we didn't have it. The whole, the community aspect of it, and you're all sitting there. Well, for a guy my age, I also, you know, I turn my children loose. And so now it's like, you know what I'm saying? Here, my family is loose amongst this crowd. And now it does feel a bit more like, you know, one big old tribe, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and it is, because everybody knows enough to look out for each other's kids and each other's animals, which are also, you know, all over the place. And it does, it just feels really good.
Yeah.
Feels, and you know, and you can't beat hearing music outside.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
My 20s were taken up with concerts, right? And big concerts, you know? Yeah, that was,
do you remember them all?
Always really a good. I remember parts of most of them.
There you go, parts of most. Yeah, yeah.
yes. I do remember a couple of times when it was like, oh, where am I? and who am I with? Yeah, there were a couple of those times.
Yeah. Parts of most. Yeah that's good enough. Parts.
Exactly. Well, we can't ask too much, can we?
Right.
And I think there's a pirate festival that's being planned at this point.
Yeah, I saw that.
Bruce was telling us that. So I would imagine that there are quite a few things that are kind of in the works for this community to be able to have some well-earned time to play.
Yeah. And like you said, outdoors. Yeah. I mean, they're good. They're good venues as long as you spread out. Spread out, you know, and I hope the Pirate Festival does well. Anytime you kind of have alcohol in something, in a festival or something, you can have issues there, right?
Oh, yeah.
you know, with like COVID restrictions.
Anytime you have alcohol, period,
I mean, just...
It can be a problem.
Talk to a restaurant owner during cocktail hour,
I know. I can't imagine. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine what it would be like to try to deal with customers who are drunk.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you reason? How do you reason with them?
I could never stand it. I never liked being around people that were drinking. I just couldn't stand it. I'd just be 86 and them. Yeah.
Me either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me either.
Usually loud. Usually loud and obnoxious. Yeah.
Exactly. And some of them like are so quick to lose it. You know, their tempers are
you
know, right at the surface. And it's like, you just don't want to get involved in that.
Too much drama.
Right. I'd much rather hang out with people who were stoned, because my experience with people who have smoked marijuana is they are just laid back and easy.
They're just kind of hanging. They're usually
and eating whatever's handy.
There is that distinction. Yeah, quite a distinction.
Yes, exactly. So are there any other activities that I missed that you know of that are coming up, or are there things that the city needs help with in terms of Azalea Festival? Any of that good stuff?
Well, when is the Monarch Festival later in the summer? It's in
probably going to be September, because that's when we actually have butterflies to release.
Yeah,
generally,
that's a good time of the year. That's a nice time of the year. I'm trying to think if I mean I know there's stuff slipping my mind.
That's all right. Yeah. We'll pick it up next week. We're going to have everybody listening next week just to find out what the dates are.
We need a community calendar to mention every week.
Right. Well, you know, Bruce does his show on KCIW. Oh, yeah. It's called The Insider Report, right?
Yeah.
And he does that. So, you know, people can listen in. You know, we run it like five times a week. So, you know, people can tune in and find it. And I'm pretty sure it is also a podcast. So I think if they go to our website, kciw.org, that they can listen to this week's podcast. So in case they miss it on the air.
Gotcha. You know. Well, cool.
So all of those delightful activities kind of leads us into the COVID issue.
Yeah.
Right?
Just took off like a stinking rocket. I mean, it. Right. Yeah, like holy smokes.
I mean, what have we had? Like something like 68 new cases in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Where did they come from?
Man, wouldn't you like to know? Yeah.
I would.
I mean.
So we're not getting any real information, are we?
Well, what I get is close, prolonged contact, so social gatherings or workplace, you know, that's what I, you know, I, we don't get anything, the city council doesn't get anything different than what the public gets, and I've asked the council to see if they wanted to try to get a little more, and they declined. But when I, you know, when I ask kind of like personally, and just reach out personally, that's the answer that I've always gotten, social gatherings. But, you know,
it would be
really great
so
to
much better.
Well,
right, if we actually
list it. Yeah. Yeah. Here's
John B's birthday party
that's just it.
25 people showed up without masks, right? Yeah.
Well,
you could call it John Doe.
Well, you could figure out a different name for it, but I'd love to be able to look at my kids and say, look, okay, that birthday party last week was 15 stinking cases, you know, and so no, that's why you aren't going. You know what I'm saying? You need to wear the stinking mask. Sunday school, that was those cases up there in Gold Beach, you know, sort of deal. I mean, but I really don't.
Right.
I don't know. I knew one decent sized family up in the Nasika Beach area that accounted for some of that initial spike that we saw. That was mainly Central and North County, right?
Mm-hmm.
But down here, I don't have any inside information or anything.
Right. And the family that you do know, it was a social gathering, right? That was how it spread.
I'm trying to remember.
Unknown quantity.
Yeah, I don't remember how it came into the family.
Because originally, it just seems like if it's not the restaurants, wouldn't it be nice to have that information so that we didn't have to close our restaurants down? If that's not a super spreader thing, then it just, you know, it would just be nice to have more information.
Yeah. I mean, there are quite a few people screaming at the governor for just that.
Oh, I know.
You know, I mean, show the information to show that, you know, what is it that says that restaurants are spreaders?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, but I know for it, all of us in little Brookings, you know, this is the deal. we're back to extreme.
I know.
And it's just, and everybody closes. And I truly thought that the worst was kind of behind us and we probably wouldn't get closed down again. And, you know, the vaccine's rolling out. This is, we should make it. We should make it.
Yeah.
But no.
I know. I was thinking the same thing, you know, and it really has looked to me like a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, I mean, you can see it, right? I've had my first shot. My husband's had his first shot. We get our next one in like a week or so. I mean, and a lot of my friends, they've had both shots at this point and went out partying immediately, which, you know, I mean, they did.
And had more shots?
Well, they did have other kinds of shots, yes.
Yeah.
But knowing that I've got some protection in me now, and I'll have more, means that I can now consider things like going to lunch with my friend Rose and having a production meeting over sushi kind of thing. But not if they've closed the restaurants down.
Right.
not if, you know. And unfortunately, I've both seen and heard instances where people are just like, they're done, you know. They're not going to wear a mask.
Oh, with the mask thing. Yeah.
Yeah, they're done.
Yeah.
There was a woman in the post office who didn't have a mask on, and she was asked to put her mask on, and she made a point of saying that her president didn't wear a mask.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Right. And I mean, we've always
whatever.
I'm sure we've had that from the beginning. I mean, I haven't.
Yeah, sure
I haven't
too.
Seen anything different than what I've seen, you know, since a month after we're all wearing masks, since it all settled in.
I've seen a little bit.
Really?
I've seen a little bit different. Yeah, I was at Bi-Mart last week, and there had to have been at least half a dozen people who either were wearing their mask under their nose or under their chin, which neither one of them is really effective. But it had definitely increased the number of people who were not being really careful from the time before that I had been in. Now, somebody posted on Facebook today that when they were in town, there are a lot of people who have masks on now. So it may be that, you know, you hear that you're back in extreme risk and then you go, oh, okay, so I really do have to, you know, be a little bit more careful.
Right. Right. I, you know, anecdotal stuff is tough. You know, if you ask 10 of us our perspective on that, they'd all be kind of different.
Yep. 10 different versions.
But I would hope, though, that, you know, if enough information gets out and people hear and know about the uptick in cases and kind of like, you know, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, like, oh, we got to get back on this sort of deal. Like, you know, we had this time. There weren't many cases. I mean, I laxed off, right? I'm sure plenty of people did, and you kind of go about your business, and then we have a spike, and so the only thing we do is bring it back down and stink and learn from it this time, right?
Yeah. Because oftentimes it's something like a spike that reminds you that, you know, if we get careless or relaxed, that especially with the variants that are out right now, right? Those, there are two different variants, one from Brazil and one from Europe, I think. And they're both much more infectious than the original was. And, you know, they're finding those variants are taking over, obviously, because they're more infectious. So they have not determined that they're any more deadly, and they do respond to the vaccines, but it does mean that the numbers are going to go up. You know, if you're not being careful, you are more likely to get one of the variants than you were to get the original COVID-19. So
yeah, I hope they keep studying, because
I think they will.
here's the thing, though, because of like what you just said. So variants, one, I mean, historically, variants are less deadly, right? Variants down the line are less deadly than the beginning one? I don't know.
The original one.
So if we are seeing a bunch of cases, but, you know, a much lower mortality, people aren't going to stand being closed. And you will see that.
And
more
I don't,
more. people ditching masks.
I don't know though that the variant is less deadly.
Right, and I don't either. I don't either.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that it's not more deadly, you know, because they would have come right out and said that. But I don't know if it's less. And you know, again, so COVID-19 has been around for a little over a year. We know nothing. Right. I mean, you know, a year is not enough time to know.
Right. Well, and we don't.
To know a virus.
Yeah. I was watching a documentary, and multiple doctors like commented on, there's nothing that we know about that the first work that came out about that was anywhere near correct. You know, so something new comes, there's work put into it, it's studied, there's papers published, and then 10 years go by, and then boom, that was wrong. You know, it's just that's the way it works. And so
yeah.
You're right. We still don't know a lot about it. Yeah.
And I think that this one is different because it is a pandemic and there's so much focus on it in the scientific community. I mean, it's not like something that they kind of study, but you know, there's a whole lot focused worldwide on figuring out what this is, how to deal with it, how to protect against it and all of that stuff. But still, you know, I mean, why do we expect them to have all the answers like immediately? And we want them to, obviously, because people are dying, but you know, the scientists are not gonna have all the answers. That's just not the way it works. They're human beings just like us. And, you know, things take time and you know, we forget about how much time has to go into studies of vaccines and, you know, how does it work and what are the side effects, if any? And, you know, and they still don't actually know how long the protection period is because it's only been around for a little over a year.
Yeah.
So the very most that they would know,
right,
is that the vaccine lasts as long as the virus has been around.
Yeah, but that's crazy.
You know, what if it doesn't last after a year and a half? What if that immunity, you know, we just don't know. We just don't know. And we're so impatient, you know, particularly in this country, we like instantaneous results.
Right.
We want instant gratification.
Well,
right?
Don't ask me to wait for a week. Well, a year is a lifetime for, you know.
Yes.
A month can be a long time. Yeah.
Well, and particularly if you're a child. When you think back to, you know, when you were 6 or 7 years old, how long a year was.
Yeah.
It never ended. I mean, it was so long, it never ended.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I'm in my 70s, so the years are going a little bit faster.
They're starting to click along.
Faster than I like. Oh, they are clicking. Yes, they are definitely clicking along.
Yeah, but I do.
But even still.
Yeah, I feel for the, you know, young people. The senior year, you know, imagine that. The old senior year folks that.
Oh, awful.
Yeah, rough.
Awful. Rough. Right? I mean, what if you were like going to be the prom queen or something, you know?
Right.
I mean, ouch.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
I know. And like you were going to do that whole trip.
Oh, I know.
Silas,
yeah,
I
know.
Right?
I mean, that's that one hurt.
Ouch.
I know that one hurt, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Holy smokes. Yeah. Thanks.
Well, I guarantee you, he hasn't forgotten about it.
One, yeah,
thanks for ruining your night. No problem.
Yeah, that one slipped my mind for a minute. Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a rough year. It's been a rough year on everybody.
It has. And I know that different people have experienced it different ways. You know, some of us have actually lost loved ones, people that we know. Others of us have not, but we've had our businesses closed down or we've lost our jobs or, you know, we suddenly find ourselves as teachers, as well as parents, with, you know, 25,000 kids locked into our home with us again. And it's like, you know, 24/7, we've got four kids. It's like, how do you even cope with that?
Right.
It's been rough.
Very rough.
It's been a rough time.
Yeah.
Well, if we can just remind people, whether you like it or not, just put your mask on. Just do it. You know, just pretend it's a game. Pretend it's a game. And let's see if for the next 60 days, we can all just wear our masks and see where we are at the end of 60 days.
Yeah. Just meet people outside, socialize outside. You know, the weather's getting better. It's staying light out. Socialize outside.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, we can hope, Jake, right? We can hope. So that brings us to Monday night's city council meeting.
Yeah. Woo-hoo! Yeah. That's an interesting one.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what some of the issues were and how it went and, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Take it away.
Blah, 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 blah. Exactly.
Yeah. Take
and
it away.
You're on.
You're on. So, so there were three things. There was the Mayor's Monarch Pledge, update on Project Turnkey. And
what was that first one? Wow, my brain is not.
So let me tell you about the monarch thing, and then the third one will come.
Good.
It
will. Yeah. Maybe.
So, you know, you obviously know all about monarch butterflies and the Association for Monarch Butterflies, but
BOMA, Brookings, Oregon Monarch Advocates.
Yeah.
Not association, advocates.
Yeah, that was fun. Yes. That was fun last night. Yeah.
It's all fun. Yeah.
So anyway, you people, you're one of you people.
Us.
One of you butterflies.
Yeah, us greenies.
Yeah.
Us people who like butterflies.
Yeah.
Very different.
So the mayor's pledge is, you know, a pledge that I take as mayor and pledging to promote monarch butterflies and to pick a few things off of a list that help the monarchs. And have we done it? Would this be the second one? Candace, was this the second one?
I believe this is the second one. Yeah.
So we went through that. And
I think the previous one kind of got blown up from COVID, I think, really.
Well, then
right, because the previous one was last year, wasn't it? And it kind of...
Well, then it would be the third. It would need to be the third one then, I think.
Okay.
Right?
Nah, no?
Okay.
I don't think so. I think you decided in 19 what you were going to do in 20.
Oh, that could be.
And 20 blew up
because
of COVID.
Okay.
And now, yeah, that's what I think.
Okay. So only the second time. So still fairly new. But I guess I underestimated the potential for, you know, dissent or objection, or at least questioning the pledge by the city council. And so that kind of caught me off guard a bit. You know, there were questions asked and, went around the table a few times, I guess, and it ended up with one counselor absent. There were three yays and one no. So it passed, but it's one of those things that it's important for it to be unanimous, and it means something when it's a unanimous vote, right? And
right.
You know,
yes.
to have kind of like a cantankerous discussion about it is unfortunate, because I didn't think it really needed to be that way. I don't think it does. And was just kind of surprised.
I mean, it's kind of like having a cantankerous discussion about hummingbirds. It's like, how do you have cantankerous discussions about beautiful things like that that need protecting? It's just, it doesn't, and I get it, you know, I mean, I think there were some misconceptions, you know. Certainly one of the counselors didn't really understand what the list of things that were being pledged were, you know. He thought it was a different list, longer list.
Yeah.
But the reality is that we have a species, the Western monarchs, that are on the verge of extinction. They only counted 1,900 in the overwintering site this right. year, where there used to be literally millions. So, you know, things are precariously balanced right now. And, you know, we've got Senator Merkley, who's introduced two mm-hmm. different bills to get some real money and attention on the issue for the monarchs and start looking at what their habitat that has been destroyed, how it can be revamped and redone, and,
right.
you know, what can we do to keep them from going extinct? Because who wants monarch butterflies to go extinct? I mean, that's like crazy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it, you know, we're in a good position to do something about it and have people in the community that care to do something about it. And it's a fun community thing.
It is. It
you
is.
Know,
people loved the Monarch Festival that we
oh,
had.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, a couple of years ago. That was so much fun.
Right.
Yeah, it was great.
Right.
And the funny thing that, you know, the whole habitat thing, it's not like you need a landscaper and gardeners and all of that stuff, because monarch habitat is milkweed, which is, by the way, weeds, and wildflowers, which are, by the way, also weeds. You know? So, I mean, it's like, it's not a big deal, right? You just
right.
plant beautiful wildflowers and let them go to seed, and they will regenerate themselves the next year. And I mean, it's so innocuous to me. The whole thing is so innocuous that I didn't understand the kind of feeling of, I don't know, like, not on my watch, it's not going to happen, you know, or, you know, what's it going to cost? And, you know, the city's not paying for it. And it was kind of like a don't enter, you know, it was like that, it was that kind of a feeling, I guess, that, you know, I really wasn't, I mean, I was there to answer questions and stuff, but it did not feel like a welcoming, warm fuzzy.
What are you talking about? I didn't get that at all.
It didn't have that feeling to me. Yeah.
You know, yeah, any reasonable person watching that would have felt a very cold reception, right? And thinking that there must be something happening behind the scenes that no one's saying, maybe, you know, that's
right.
that's what that would,
right?
Right?
Like,
that's what that makes you
yeah.
think, right?
Right.
You know, it's that
right.
whole something doesn't right. smell right. You know, there's something going on here that there's just bad juju, right?
Right, like maybe the monarchs are actually socialists and we're trying to take over the government.
Well.
No, right. that wasn't it. Sorry.
So, I can tell you that I have made the same mistake before, more than once. Mm. You know, I don't know how many times. I can remember some, so then I usually need to assume that there's some that I don't remember. So, you know, I mean, we're people, and meet together with an agenda having to do with different things, and sometimes walking into the room having discussed different things, and it's just, you know, some our frame of mind is not always you know, super, super cheery. And it's not only monarch butterflies that sometimes get that. You know, I have times when I'm doing proclamations for groups that, you know, it's a rough night. The agenda is a rough agenda, but I gotta like, I'm gonna smile and I'm gonna read this proclamation and we're gonna snap some pictures and this is gonna be a great time, right?
And you're really gonna look like you're having fun.
Yeah,
because for that moment, you actually do have to, right? You can train yourself just
to click, you know, click in, click out.
Yep.
But there, you know, there was obviously something, something more than just that. And having thought about it, more, and I haven't spoken to anyone about this. I haven't mentioned it to Janelle or any other counselor, but I can see, how I would like to do that next year. And maybe, I don't know if I would say it was a mistake, but could see how maybe that could have worked out better. So
I'd be happy to sit down in a workshop or something if that seems like a good idea and talk about.
Yeah. So I can empathize with a perspective. If this is a perspective of a counselor, I can empathize with it. Mm-hmm. Being kind of left out and then kind of this thing kind of dropped on you, you know, not having any say in it. Mm-hmm. And this just kind of, you're expecting me just to kind of rubber stamp this thing, you know, that whole deal. Mm-hmm. So next year, I say we have a workshop on it, allow the council to have input on which items are chosen, and questions answered and all that. And so, you know, people.
And there really has to be an understanding of a basic understanding that it's Brookings that is Monarch City USA.
Yeah.
It's not BOMA. BOMA isn't a city, you know. The whole point is that it's Brookings that has this, you know, title and actually the first one in Oregon, which is pretty significant. And it's the Monarch cities that are going to get the attention, you know, that money that is, if it goes through Congress, that money is going to go to the Monarch cities and in addition to other places. But, and, you know, and as the first one in Oregon, I mean, we've got a lot to be proud of. And that crazy butterfly that Holly had that laid 500 eggs a couple of years ago. And the butterflies that I just released now, 6 months before I should have ever released a butterfly. I mean, things are changing. Things are definitely, climate-wise, things are changing. And we may very well end up with the Western Monarch butterfly overwintering in Brookings.
That would be gnarly. That would be gnarly.
It's phenomenal. Because do you have any idea of what the tourist attraction is for that? I mean, the places down in California, Carmel and down around Santa Cruz, they have hundreds, thousands of tourists who come in to look at those monarchs because they're dripping from the trees when they're overwintering. They're dripping. It's like, it's the most amazing sight. So, you know, the possibilities are just enormous and endless as far as I'm concerned. You know, the sky is the limit and we can actually save a species from extinction at the same time. You know, like, wow.
Yeah.
That's not a bad deal.
Yeah. So I hope moving forward, you know, having more communication with the rest of the council on it on the front end will be better. You know, either that or everyone just, you know, literally just kind of come out and say if this is something that you know, we want to continue to do or not. And, you know, if there's just like really no way to make this happen, then let's just, let's just have it out. Because I don't want to fight. I'm not going to fight every year about it.
Oh,
right?
No.
And so, you know, I get how like there's plenty of things, especially when I was a counselor, there were plenty of things that I just kind of shrugged at, right? Like, I don't really care. You know, this guy really cares about it. That person really cares about it. Sure. And so, you know, like, that's okay, counselors. If that's what we want to do moving forward, great, you know, but I don't want to fight about this every year. So we got to figure this one out.
No, I think the fewer fights, the better, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no, yeah, there's no reason. So that was the first one. And then there was Project Turnkey.
Turnkey, yeah. So
yeah.
I actually thought that was a decent discussion in that I'm glad that it happened. It was Counselor Alcorn that asked for that. And actually when he asked for it, I kind of like raised an eyebrow and spoke to him about it after the meeting, that I thought it was kind of strange. And, but you know, as it turns out, I think it was a good discussion and I'm glad it was on there. You know, hard and emotional discussion, emotional for a lot of people that it affects in real life, you know? So you were there, obviously a lot of differing opinions amongst the council and in, you know, well, really amongst the council. I don't know. What was your...
So, yeah, I thought it was really interesting. I thought the discussion was actually quite good.
Mm-hmm.
I did not, obviously didn't agree with some of the perceptions of some of the counselors.
Right.
So I didn't agree with what they were saying, but I thought that actually having the conversation was, it's always a step forward. You know, you have a conversation and it's always a step forward because at least you find out what each other thinks.
Yeah.
And then if there are misconceptions, which there were, they can get addressed. I thought it was wonderful that both Diana and Beth got up to speak. And what they both had to say was right on point and good information. It really helps to remember that Diana has actually lived that.
Mm-hmm.
So when she talks about homelessness and what that looks like and what it looks like to get out of that, to actually be pulled out of it, kind of helped out of it, she actually knows what she's talking about because she lived it.
Right.
And when you look at somebody like Diana, who is, I mean, I hope she's not listening because she'll blush, but she's extremely bright and just quick as a whip and heart as big as the ocean. I mean, she's just an amazing person. And when you think that amazing person was homeless and had substance issues and all of that, if somebody didn't help her, we would have lost her, right? We would have lost her. And that, to me, that is a significant thing, you know, that there is a worth in people that we don't actually see if they get flushed down the toilet. We'll never see that. We'll never see it. And, you know, and Beth is amazing, obviously, too. So, you know, I mean, she's, and hearing from at least one of the people that stood up and talked was actually homeless.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that was interesting.
So, you know, they've got real life experiences of what it's like to be out on the street in Brookings.
Yeah.
You know, in the middle of the winter. So yeah, it was very interesting. It was very interesting and very informative.
Yeah.
I walked out of there and there was a guy, an older guy, standing outside smoking a cigarette. And I walked past him and said, "Hi, how you doing?" or whatever. And he said, "You know, I'm living in my car and I don't want to be. That's not where I want to be." So, you know, and that kind of brought back one of the comments by one of the counselors that most of the homeless that he dealt with didn't want help. And I just don't think that's true. You know, they may not come up to you and look you in the face and say, please, can you put me in touch with somebody who can get me out of this? Because they may not know how to do that. Or their social skills may have been just blown up living on the street for, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
What did you think?
Well, it was good. It was good to hear from everybody. And it was good to hear from the counselors. Some of them, like, you know, Ron Head and Skog, I've known for quite a while, and he's been on the council for quite a while. And so I had heard him, you know, speak, and kind of figured I knew where he was at. And he comes with, you know, with some experience in working with the homeless and a long time of it. And, you know, just a strong, you know, database of personal experience that he pulls from to, you know, as part of his decision-making process. Alcorn and Councillor Schreiber, you know, there's a lot there that, much of their opinion I disagree with. You know, I have a hard time, with kind of the basis, it seems like, of kind of where homeless conversations go, to where it goes to really quickly the reasons why someone is on a street, you know, and when we're talking about,
which quite frankly we don't know.
Well,
right?
Well,
I mean, we really don't know.
And yeah, quite frankly, we don't usually bring up when it's any other subset of people that the city is doing something for. Okay. When we talk about affordable housing, you know, we're not talking about, no one brings up that, well, yeah, but I saw the guy that's in an affordable house. I saw him at Stinking Black Trumpet spending $50 on a meal and drinking wine, you know. And for some reason, you start talking about homeless people and it's just boom, you know. We're all talking about why they're on the streets. And so that, you know, that's kind of, I get tired of that one. I get tired of that one pretty quick.
Well, you know, I remember conversations with you a couple of months ago where you said something like, you know, we can't possibly know what people's motivations are.
Right.
We can't possibly be inside their head and know that. And I think we all make the mistake of thinking that we know somehow why somebody is doing what they're doing. And it that couldn't be more wrong.
Right.
We don't.
Right.
We don't have a clue. Not a clue.
Yep. You've always got to remember that. I mean, you've always got to just keep checking yourself on that. Keep checking yourself.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
So,
do you feel, I feel like it was positive.
I do.
You feel like it was positive,
I'm glad,
right?
I'm glad the conversation happened. I'm glad that Alcorn got it on the agenda. I'm happy that Beth showed up and Diana showed up. I'm glad we had a couple public speakers. I'm glad we got the unique opportunity to hear from someone that was actually currently living on our streets. That was interesting.
Yep.
But yep. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that counselors, you know, that we can just kind of come to grips with some things more, and just kind of realize where we're at and probably where we're going, you know. And it's,
well, I think the statement that you made was really impactful to me. You know, you said that the direction that city council has been taking for the last 10 years or however long has really been about, you know, let's move them on down the road. You know, they don't belong here. Let's move them out. And that clearly that is not working. Clearly that approach isn't working. And they are part of our community. And we have an obligation and a duty, really, you know, as human beings,
right,
to take care of the less fortunate human beings. So I was really, I heard you say that, and like, I wanted to stand up and applaud, but I figured I'd get gagged.
Yeah, I would have, man. Yeah. Yeah. quack, quack. Yeah.
I don't want to get gaveled.
Yeah. For someone clapping for me, but that would have been a hoot. Yeah.
Right, right. How absurd, right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I think, you know, it's true. And I think that we all know that the status quo has not worked. It just hasn't. So we need to come up with some new ideas. We need to come up with a new direction.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's enough of folks that are truly our people, that are like truly just for no fault of their own don't have the ability to take care of themselves, you know?
That's right.
And when we talk about homeless, we end up talking about heroin addicts that are stealing stuff out of garden sheds, right? But, you know, right. there's people sleeping outside tonight right now that are here. Some of them have been here for a long time, and
that's right.
They just, holy smokes, like, what could we possibly expect them to do?
Right. I mean, there's that older woman who lives in a tent right now. I mean, she's going to die if something is not done. You know, she's disabled. She, you know, she can't take care of herself.
And no one...
Yeah, we have to step up. Yeah. We just have to step up.
No one that went there and dealt with that person and actually knew that story... No one would believe that there's not like some safety net. Like, well, what do you mean? So what happens now? You know? And two, no one would think, you know, she's a tweaker, a tweaker, right. Stealing lawnmowers. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
She can't even walk.
Right.
I mean, okay. Yeah.
But it's just your perception, your perception of the local homeless and who they are.
Exactly. And that's probably the first thing that needs to get changed.
Yeah.
So that we don't keep operating like that. So I see the little green sign from Mr. Tom. Do you see that?
I do.
Basically, he's telling us we're out of time again.
I've missed those messages from Tom. It's been three weeks since I've seen those old Tom messages.
I know that you're almost out of time. So I'm thinking one of the things that I'd like to talk about maybe next week is growth, like the growth of Brookings. Like, what are we?
Okay.
What do we have a plan?
Yeah.
And what is that plan?
Yeah.
Right.
We can talk about that.
Sound good to you?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. All right. So I want to address our audience. Thanks for tuning in. KCIW is moving their antenna and putting up their own tower within the next 6 months, and we need help from the community to do that. So we've started a campaign for you to buy an inch for $10. Now you can go to our website and see all the information there and donate by check or via PayPal. So help keep your community radio station on the air. We're here for you, and we need you to step up and be there for us. Thanks again. And we'll see you next week. This is Candace Michelle and Brookings Mayor Jake Pieper for Building Bridges.